So this is now about spiritual gifts, part three. The first night when I began to teach this, that I was talking to another pastor friend, and we were talking about this subject. And he said, you know, he's not pastoring anymore, but he said, you know, I felt like it was very, very important. He said, at least once a year, I would teach on the spiritual gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, because it's so lost in the church today. Churches that are Spirit-filled, they claim they believe these things, but there's so little of it that's actually manifesting in the church. And so he said, I made it my purpose. And I said, well, I teach on it too from time to time. And he said, well, when's the last time you taught on it? And I said, well, probably about 2 years ago. And then when I went back and looked, realized it'd been 4 years. So I thought, wow, time is flying. But so that's why I decided to get back to this, to just kind of refresh people and just to hopefully what my desire is, and I believe the desire of the Lord is to whet our appetite, to say, God, I want you to use me in this way, in a supernatural way. We can all do something in the natural. How many of you know we can all do something and we can just do something, right? We can, and now a lot of people, I'd like a lot of people to just do something in the natural, right? I wish a lot more of God's people across the board would just do something in the natural that would benefit the kingdom in some way. But there's something awesome about when you begin to ask the Lord to use you in spiritual gifts and you keep your pride in check and don't let it ever become about you. Don't ever take a hold of and claim the gifts for yourself. As we've said, we're just a pipeline. We're just a conduit that those gifts can flow through. And the one who's receiving the gift is not the one it's flowing through. The one receiving the gift is the one that is the benefactor of it, that God is touching through the gift. Okay? The gifts of the Holy Spirit belong to the Holy Spirit. They're His gifts. They're not our gifts. So we can never claim them for ourselves. And I've seen people get prideful and, you know, start comparing the gifts, what they say are their gifts, to other people's gifts and which one's the best gift and that kind of stuff. And, oh, yeah, well, you flow in the word of knowledge. Well, I have the gift of healing. Well, no, you don't. Or I have the gift of this. Here's another one people say all the time. And we'll talk about it tonight. But we'll talk about, they call it the gift of discernment. There is no gift of discernment. It's discerning of spirits. So we'll get into that. But the main thing is understanding there's those three sets of gifts, the motivational gifts, which is define the style that we serve in the church and so on and so forth, and not just in the church, but as the church. Then there's the ministerial leadership gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And by the way, again, those are not gifts. Like, I don't have the gift of pastor. No, the office of pastor is a gift to the people. Everybody understand that? It's not my gift. So we're talking about, though, the third set of gifts, which are what's called the manifestational gifts. And let's go back to our core scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. It says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul is making it clear, I want to make sure you guys understand spiritual gifts. I want you to know how they work. I want you to know how to properly use them in a way that is edifying and is in order. Because the Corinthian church, the people he was talking to at the time, it wasn't a matter of them not using the spiritual gifts. They were using the spiritual gifts wrongly. They were all puffed up with the spiritual gifts. They, you know, for instance, Paul had to talk about the use of tongues, and we talked about this last time, that they needed to understand that tongues wasn't just a gift to be used without some kind of order put in place. And he was talking specifically about tongues that requires interpretation. And he even said, at most two, at most three in a service should allow that gift to flow. And he said, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. So we can control it. Nobody can say, oh, I couldn't help it. I couldn't control it. The Holy Spirit just grabbed my mouth and began to talk. And I tried to shut it down and I just couldn't. I tried not to prophesy, but I couldn't stop it. God grabbed my tongue and just got that thing to flapping. I couldn't stop it. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. We can control it. If we couldn't, then he wouldn't have told us to do so, right? So the Corinthian church was basically, they were so thankful, I believe excited about the gift of tongues, that he had to not rebuke them, but correct them. And that, look, when people walk in, you can't just all be speaking in tongues all the time. And then a message that edifies people is never brought forth. And if you do speak in tongues, then you need to have an interpreter, because that's a message from God to earth, from God to the people. And we talked about the fact that praying in tongues is different. That's a message that's from the Spirit of God in you to heaven, and that's nobody else's business. They don't need to know what's being said. In fact, it's not even our business. That's why we can't understand what's being said, right? But tongues that is from heaven to earth requires an interpretation, because it's a message from God, and that actually equals prophecy. We kind of got into the speaking gifts and kind of went through that the first week and then second week. We started with prophecy and kind of finished that out. And you can go back and listen to those messages. I know they were put on the Facebook page and so on and so forth. But there was quite a bit that we talked about prophecy and prophetic words. And, you know, there are some things that we need to be careful with. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Be careful. You want to make sure that it's coming from the Holy Spirit, which is one of the reasons why we need the discerning of spirits. So again, we talked a lot about tongues, and then we talked about interpretation of tongues. So tonight, we're going to start talking about what's called the knowing gifts. So the first set of gifts are the speaking gifts. Then this is the knowing gifts. These are generally operational many times when you're praying for someone, or it may happen in an altar call, or it may happen in a service where God begins to use these knowing gifts. And I tell you, I love the way that gift operates, because when God gives a person knowledge that they shouldn't know and couldn't possibly know without God telling them, you talk about get somebody's attention. I know it's gotten my attention at times, you know, whenever, you know, there was some kind of a prophetic word given to me based on a word of knowledge that God has spoken about. I shared the illustration about how many years ago when I was in Bible college, how this guy spoke, God gave him a word of knowledge about my future, that I would be involved in film, he said, and that made no sense to me whatsoever. 16 years later, I got invited to write a song for a documentary, a film, and then all of a sudden, 16 years later, it all makes sense, right? And so I was able to write the song. God gave me the words. The timing was perfect. Everything is the way it needed to be in that. But God spoke that into my life 16 years before, and it was based on something God showed a man who didn't know me from Adam. And so we talked about the fact that also the spiritual gifts many times will work together. So the word of knowledge or the message of knowledge, either way it could be called that, message or word of knowledge, it is knowledge that comes from God you could not have known. It is the gift of the Spirit that helps reveal through a divine way the power of God. And also, a word of knowledge can also be a confirming word to someone as well. So when someone's going through a present situation and the Spirit reveals to someone else to go and offer a word of encouragement or comfort in that specific situation, I want to tell you, that blows people's minds. And this sometimes can be a warning of something upcoming, or maybe a revelation of something that's already taken place. And so now here's the thing that I think has happened in a lot of the church, and a lot of people have kind of begun to reject gifts like this, is because there are charlatans out there. There are crooks out there. There have been more than one preacher caught with an earpiece hidden in the ear. And when people walk into the room, and keep this in mind, if you ever go to one of these services where somebody supposedly operates in those kind of gifts, and the people come in the room, but before they come in the room, they're asking them for their information, you know, and they'll say, well, we just want to put you on the mailing list. And so they start putting all their information there with some very specific details. And then the person up front, supposedly that's operating in the gift, is is doing nothing but being told specific details about that person because they've already found that information out. And so this person says, is there a Susan in the room? Susan, let's see, Susan, does the word 34 mean anything to you? Oh, you're 34 years old? Oh, okay. And let's see, and then they name a city. Tell me about this city. What does that city mean to you? Oh, that's where I was born, or whatever the situation is. But it wasn't a gift of the Spirit at all. Now, can God reveal knowledge like that to people? Absolutely. The problem is greedy, selfish people have misused those things or claiming to be using those gifts when they were nothing but manipulative con artists. Okay. And so then they get exposed, and then all of a sudden everybody says, oh man, see, that's all fake. I knew that. You can't trust that. And that's a shame. That's a shame. That's why we want the gifts of the Spirit to operate through us, but it's more important that we have the fruit of the Spirit first, that we have the character of Christ so that we can use the gifts rightly. So I have been around genuine people gifted by the Spirit who have spoken into my life and ministered into my life, but I've also seen those who were being manipulative and got exposed. So this sometimes can be a warning also, something upcoming or a revelation of something that's already taken place one way or the other. But I'll tell you, if it's a legitimate word from God, and you will only know that as you seek confirmation, make sure that you're hearing from the Lord on this, but it could save your life, literally. And I believe that God wants all of us to be able to tune our ear toward Him, and that He uses other people to confirm things to us. And so in some instances, it can be, again, a revelation of a particular area in a person's life. You know, for me, the way it operates pretty freely is it has to do with specific illnesses or injuries and that kind of thing. There was a time, and this hasn't happened to me in a while, but it's kind of changed over time. There were times when I would feel a specific pain in a specific part of my body and knew that it wasn't mine and that it had to be for someone else. Well, I saw that operating through Brother Holton for, many years. And so we're in that same stream of anointing. But there for a season, and this hasn't happened like this in a while, but there for a season, I'm telling you, it was almost like X-ray vision. I don't even know how to explain it other than I could see a person, and it was almost like their body, like a scan, and I would see, maybe it was a shoulder, and I would see like a knot or a black spot, almost like an X-ray. I don't even know how to explain it, but I would see it, and I would know it. And I knew it was something I was seeing in the Spirit, okay? So now that hasn't happened quite like that in a while. There are times when God would give me a word of knowledge, and it was specifically like He would just show me a picture. Like some of you remember the guy that was here, and the Lord kept showing me the picture of the tractor tire. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? Show me. That was a way God was speaking, but that was a word of knowledge. And, and this guy, it changed this guy's life because God told me to tell him that I see a tractor tire with flowers planted in it. And his father had just died, and he had just got that tractor tire and went and planted it in the driveway on the side of his mother's driveway with flowers in it because she loved those flowers. And both of them were very, very depressed. It had happened like a week before he showed up for service. And the guy just hit the ground crying and crying, sobbing like a baby. Why? Because God was saying, I see you. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. So God speaks in a lot of different ways through this gift of the word of knowledge. And here's the thing, most of the time, you got to understand, before you step out in this, your brain is going to scream at you and tell you, you're about to look like the biggest idiot in the world. Because you're going to say something, and they're going to say, no, no. This happened the other day many times to me when the Lord would give me a word of knowledge and in a service about something that specific that needed to be healed, and nobody would say anything. Nobody would stand up. Nobody would say anything. Then after the service, when everybody's gone, they'd come up and say, I was kind of shy, but that was me. Brother Mike had a word of knowledge the other day. I forget exactly what it was, but he had a word of knowledge. It was on a Wednesday night. And what was it? stomach lining. Okay. Yeah, and nobody said anything. Now, you talk about really get challenging when you got a small crowd, right? And something's very specific, right? Well, then after the service, he had already stepped out to go to the class and all. Then after the service, a young lady approaches me. She'd never been here before. She approaches me and she says, look, I was just really shy, but that was me. That really was God. So we prayed for her. But that happens all the time. But I want to tell you, it is like, I mean, it's like stepping out on nothing. And you're going to always feel that way. And so, but say it anyway. God will cover you. If you do it with the right heart, and you're not, it's not a pride issue. It's not, say it anyway. And I want to tell you, it teaches you to be able to hear and to learn. And, you know, can you miss it? Sure you can. But it's worth taking a shot. And God sees your heart. He knows if your intention is good, and he knows that you're trying to be a blessing. He knows that. And so he will honor that. So we see an example in the scripture, John 4:15-18. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied, and Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. So what you just said is quite true. What was happening right there? Jesus was operating in a word of knowledge. Somebody would say, oh, but that was Jesus. He knew everything. No, when he was on this earth, he left his glories in heaven. He was God in the flesh. He was 100% God and 100% man, but he was operating as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gave us the example of what we could do if we would allow our lives to be completely led and filled by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said we could do the same things he did, right? He was giving us an example. So Jesus didn't know everything that was going on this earth unless the Lord the Father was showing him. That's why he said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I do what I see the Father do, right? He was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never did the first miracle, by the way, until the Holy Spirit came and baptized him. When he was baptized in water, he also got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us the Father spoke, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and he never did a single miracle or really do any ministry until that happened. So he did study before that, but he never did any miracles or anything before that. All right, so we see that example. And then John 4:28-29, it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So what happens when something like, when a gift like that is used, it gets people's attention, and you know what? They're going to tell other people because this is just too amazing. This is just too incredible. They're going to tell people, you know, something really crazy happened to me. This guy I met in Walmart all of a sudden starts telling me things about my life. There's no way he could have known, and said God showed him and just wanted to tell me that God loved me and he led me to Christ. Right? Or she, or whatever. It doesn't have to be a he. It's a beautiful gift, a wonderful gift. I love it. I find that I operate in that pretty easily. You know, that flows through me pretty easily. But I'm not limited to that. Where none of us are limited to any of the gifts. Remember, we taught that. All of us can be used in all of the gifts. God can flow any one of those nine gifts through us if we make ourselves available. But sometimes it feels a little uncomfortable, and so we can stop the flow. So we have to learn to not stop the flow, all right? All right, so then the next one, and again, these are the knowing gifts. The next one is the message or the word of wisdom. So this generally would be very similar to knowledge, but this would be many times a revelation of what to do next. A lot of times the word of wisdom operates sort of future, beyond the word of knowledge. And it's a door. It may be, you know, somebody saying, you know, there's a door that's about to open. So there's a temptation that's approaching, or a spiritual wisdom from the Spirit on how to handle a situation. It's supernatural wisdom. It is not just natural carnal wisdom. It's wisdom that comes from God. It's that which will unlock a situation. You know, Pastor Mike This is a gift that he flows in very, very freely. And he does a lot of marriage counseling. He's got his PhD and all kinds of stuff in counseling and brain science and all that kind of stuff. He knows all of that. He said, but when I sit down with a couple to talk to them, to counsel them, he said, I don't give them all that stuff I learned in college. I sit down and I ask God to give me a word. And he said, many times God will give me a word of wisdom that literally unlocks everything. And so, you know, and sometimes a word of knowledge that first, and then a word of wisdom that says, well, this is what you've been doing. And he said, I won't even let them sit there and tell me what their problem is and what they've been doing. He said, so this is what you've been doing, and this is what God says you need to do. And when they do that, they get healed up. So it's a wonderful gift that typically has to do with wisdom from heaven, and it has to do with what are you going to do with the knowledge that just came. So God gives you a word of knowledge, but then he tells you what to do with that knowledge. Let me give you an example. Many times God will give me a word of knowledge specifically for a healing, but there are times when he says just have them lay hands on themselves. Sometimes have, you know, somebody lay hands on them. Sometimes nobody lay hands on them. Sometimes come to the altar, sometimes not. So I try to hear what's next. What's next, Lord? What's next? That's when the word of wisdom works, and they work together. And when you do it the way God said to do it, you see the results. So this wisdom can reach backwards. It could be for something present, or it could be for future use. But many times it has to do with more future use. This gift many times will be used in conjunction with the word of knowledge. Again, to know what to do. And sometimes it's not just about what to do, but it's about when to do it. And sometimes it's also about what not to do. So it's supernatural wisdom from God to know what to do, when to do, how to do it. How are you going to handle this word of knowledge that just came from heaven? And sometimes it has nothing to do with a word of knowledge. Sometimes it's just you have a situation and you don't know what to do. I've had Christian mechanics, and, you know, Brother Solomon, I use him as an example, where, you know, trying to get his business started, so on and so forth, and say, God, what do you want me to do? And God direct his path and do something very, very practical, right? That's a word of wisdom from God that proved itself out, right? So it's sometimes it's just a situation. I don't know what to do with this situation. And then all of a sudden, I knew what to do with this situation, right? And so sometimes God may be giving you a word of knowledge about someone who you definitely should not give publicly that word to them, or it could shame or embarrass them. And I've seen that happen where the gift gets misused because of a lack of not hearing the supernatural wisdom of God. So sometimes the word of wisdom, God will give you a word. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Tommy Falk, and you guys know if you've been with him in service many times, he begins to operate in word of knowledge and that kind of thing. But he said, I've learned in my ministry that 75 to 85% of what God's showing me, he tells me, do not open your mouth and say it, because it's only what is necessary. Because there are some things that would just straight up embarrass people really bad. Now, there are times when God has to, when he has to expose something, when a person refuses to repent. For instance, many years ago, we had an old prophet. He's passed away now. Were any of you here when we had Brother Bob Boost came? Many years ago, the platform was on that side, and he was in a wheelchair. Anybody remember him? I mean, he was a prophet if there was ever a prophet, you know. He operated in all the gifts. But he came in, and we had a little couple. This would have been back right after Katrina, when a lot of those people had come to this area. And this was a little couple that had evacuated here from Katrina, and we were helping them. But they were talking about how, you know, how they loved the Lord and how they were, you know, Christians, and they really considered themselves ministers of God, so on and so forth, and they introduced themselves as husband and wife and whatever. And so Brother Boost has a word for the young lady, and then he says, who's that sitting next to you? And she goes, oh, that's my husband. He said, no, it's not. Her eyes got as big as saucers. Said, that's not your husband. You've been living like husband and wife, but you need to repent because God ain't playing. And we had no idea. We thought they were married. Come to find out, they were not. There's no way this man would have known that. But he knew it, and then he knew that in that moment he needed to expose it and rebuke them because they had been putting on a front and trying to gain influence, and they were living directly in opposition to God and living a lie. So he had to, I mean, they weren't going to repent, apparently, and God said, I've got to expose it. How many of you know it's much better to go ahead and repent before God has to expose us? Man, that ain't no fun. I mean, that's just no fun, right? So, but there are some things that should not be said because there are some things sometimes that people are struggling with, and it would just embarrass them so bad that, you know, that they'd never come back. I mean, it would just humiliate them. But there are times, again, when God says this needs to be brought out in the open. Now, that might sound mean, but when God does that, it's always for their good because he knows the future, and he knows if they don't repent, something terrible is about to happen. It's always out of mercy and love and for their good. And they can heed it or they cannot. So again, sometimes God may be giving you a word of knowledge about someone, and you know it's God, and you know some specific things, but God doesn't want you to humiliate him. It's not about that. And you definitely don't take that information and go sharing it with other people. So that could easily hinder them in their walk instead of helping them. Does that make sense? All right, so just a side note, again, be careful about publicly exposing someone's dirty laundry with public prayer requests as well. Just throwing that out there. All right, be careful about doing that to people. Here's a rule. If you wouldn't want it said about you publicly, don't say it about them publicly under the guise of praying for them. But there are times when a public exposing word is needed. Now, let me give you another example here. This happened, Leonard Ravenhill and William Branham. How many of you ever heard of William Branham? He was a preacher many, many years ago. God used in a very mighty way. He operated in these gifts very, very accurately. And there were just incredible, incredible healings and miracles that took place in his meetings. I mean, just incredible stuff right before people's eyes. And Leonard Ravenhill was another preacher that just didn't pull any punches. I mean, he just told it like it was, period. And his whole, he had a prophetic anointing in the sense of a prophet that speaks directly and confronts the church and says it's time to get it right, time to repent. And Leonard Ravenhill just didn't, he didn't pull any punches. Very powerful preacher. But they were actually in a meeting together, William Branham and Leonard Ravenhill, and a pastor's wife in front of a very long prayer line. And it was, you know, this thing was wrapping around the building and all, very long prayer line. This pastor's wife, who was in an adulterous affair, got called out by William Branham. He just, because apparently she was not going to repent. So he called her out. But when he did, the husband, the pastor, was standing right behind her, and he got all upset at William Branham, and he said, "Don't you talk about my wife that way." And then William Branham calls him out and says, "Yeah, you're having an affair too." So you got two people there representing God. You know, Pastor Mike says the higher up the coconut tree the monkey climbs, the more his hiney shines. In other words, you want to start taking on titles and you want to start taking on authority and you want to start taking on influence, the higher you go, the more your ugly gets exposed, right? So that was something that needed to be done, apparently. And now whether that couple ever came to repentance, I don't know, but God was certainly giving them a chance. You know, when and I won't call the names of some of the preachers that have been exposed over the years, but don't think that God didn't give them a chance over and over and over again to repent before he exposed them and publicly exposed them. So undoubtedly, God had given them many opportunities, and they just would not repent. William Branham then says something to the effect of, "Do you not believe that God knows every secret of a person's heart, that every life is laid bare before him?" And here's the funny part. After he finished dealing with that pastor and his wife, All of a sudden, the prayer line disappeared. And nobody wanted their secrets laid bare. So sometimes you shouldn't give a word to somebody. Sometimes it's just God showing you something about that person simply so you can begin to intercede and to pray for them. And so God knows what to do with the knowledge that he gave you. The word of wisdom shows you what to do with the knowledge that he gave you. And so we need to know the difference. A word of wisdom helps you in that way. Also, have you ever been in a situation? Anybody in here ever been in a situation when you didn't know what to do? Has that ever? I'm just curious about this. Do you believe that God gave you the wisdom, supernatural wisdom, to handle a situation you could not handle otherwise? I want to see y'all's hands. That's ever happened to you. If it's not happened to you, you ought to ask him for that. Ask him to flow through you into that. And sometimes, here's the amazing thing, just like the word of knowledge, you want to get somebody's attention and get God some glory. When somebody is in a situation, they don't have a clue what to do and they are devastated over it, and God gives you a word of wisdom for that person and gets them through that situation, I'm telling you, they will be absolutely awed with God. You just got to make sure you give God the glory for it. And look, God wants us to do that. He wants us to be problem solvers, but he doesn't want us to do it with our own head. He wants us to do it by getting wisdom from heaven. All right, so I believe that this gift can reveal God's supernatural wisdom for any situation we need. And again, not natural wisdom, but supernatural. And you just know what to do or what to say, and it isn't because you thought of it by yourself. God gets the glory. Now, the third one, and I'm going to have to do this one quickly, is the distinguishing between spirits or discerning of spirits. It's simply supernatural knowledge of what spirit is present in a situation or a place and can be applied to spoken words to know their origin. For instance, somebody claims they're speaking for God. When this gift is operating, this gift will protect you because you will know that is not from the Holy Spirit, or else you will know it is from the Holy Spirit. I remember somebody, I won't say who it is, but it was somebody many, many years ago, was attacking Pastor Cindy with their words. And they were claiming that God said this and God showed them, but they were so totally out of order with what they were saying, and they were of the wrong spirit. And I remember Pastor Cindy sitting there and listening to it, and then she said, "You know what? I don't hear God's voice in that at all, and I will not receive it. I will not." And she got up and she left. Well, she didn't need to receive it because it was not coming from the Holy Spirit, right? We need to know that distinguishing of spirits lets you know what is the origin of this. What is the origin? Now, another way that the gift operates is it lets you know if there is the presence of a demonic spirit or presence of an angelic spirit, right? There's, you know, the good kind. There are times, look, I've had this happen in my life where I just knew, man, I knew I was in a room and I knew that there were angels in that room. I mean, I could sense it. I knew it. And because I could sense the presence of God, but I knew it was not just the presence of God like I was used to, but that there were angelic beings in the room. But I've also been in another situation where I knew there were demons in the room. Right? It's a distinguishing between spirits. And there's a different kind of fear, by the way. Every time an angel appeared to someone in the Bible, they'd always have to say, "No, get up. You know, get up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because it's a fear of God kind of thing that comes over you. But when it's a demonic spirit, it's a whole different kind of fear. It's a death grip kind of thing. It's a hopelessness that takes a hold of you. It's like a deep feeling of dread in that moment. If you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. So it's a wonderful gift. I'll give you an example also how it works. Years ago, out on the street, and this demon-possessed man approached me, and this man was a Satanist and fully possessed. I mean, so many demons. And the Lord immediately began to name the demons. It was just over and over and over. It was just all these names begin to come. And I don't mean names like Dwayne or Cindy. I mean, you know, names like homosexuality, names like murder, names like like rape, names like, you know, any other kind of sin, you could have incest, all of that stuff began to just like a battering ram come at me. And it kind of felt like, you know, you ever see the Star Trek screen with all the stars, you know, that's how it felt like, all of this going on. And so I knew it. So the Lord prepared me. He showed me that as the guy was walking up to me. So when the guy began to speak, I already knew who was really speaking. And he began to try to intimidate and all this kind of stuff. And I just told him, I said, hey, you don't have to be scared of me. You don't have to be scared. I'm not going to hurt you. I said, no, I know you're not going to hurt me. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. You can't hurt me. When I said that, because I knew I was talking to not a man, but to demonic forces, the guy shuddered, you know, when I said that. And so, but then he began to ask me for help, because he recognized I understood the power of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And he was saying, I want out of this lifestyle. The man began to speak, and his voice would change. He'd go from the demonic voices to normal, right? And he wanted out of that lifestyle, didn't know how. But he recognized the power of the authority of the name of Jesus, of the authority of the blood of Jesus, and he knew this is somebody that can help me. And I was able to pray for the man. Distinguishing of spirits, that's one way that it works. For me, it literally distinguishes what kind of spirit that you're dealing with. Here's another way that the gift works. For instance, sometimes when a person needs healing, it's simply because they have some kind of injury, some kind of damage in their body, some kind of even a disease that has come upon them. And sometimes you just need to deal with it in the area of healing. But sometimes you need to deal with it as a spirit. Sometimes they need deliverance. They don't need physical healing. They need they need it, but they need deliverance first from the demonic force that's doing it to them. Y'all hear me? And you want to pray. It's kind of like, for instance, I've known people with epilepsy. And when they have epilepsy, typically if medicine helps, then they need healing, just healing. If medicine doesn't help, it's a demonic thing. And we know in the scripture that we have examples of that, of how, you know, demons were causing people to have seizures and that kind of thing. The Lord will reveal to you what you're dealing with, because if you're just praying for healing or believing for healing for them, but you don't deal with the demonic spirit that's causing it, they may be healed in that instant, but that demonic force that is never dealt with is going to bring it right back. So that's one of the ways the gift works, all right? Sometimes the Lord will show you the discernment, whether it's oppression or whether it's possession. But again, there's a lot of ways this gift operates and is a benefit to the body of Christ. So it's mainly, though, above all of that, it's really mainly for discerning our own spirituality. The gift of distinguishing or discerning between spirits is to sensitize our own spirits to the voice of the Lord. That's what it does. That's the main thing it does. It is a personal revelation of areas in our own hearts and our own lives that if we'll be honest with God, He shows us about our own spiritual being, our own spirituality. And if we'll listen, He'll let us know where we're being driven by demonic things or led by the Spirit of God. So this discerning is also for proper identification of gifts as to their validity to the church. For instance, again, somebody that's claiming to operate in a gift of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits will let you know whether or not that's legitimate or not, or whether that's just flesh, or whether that's just pride. Let me give you another example. There was a time when there was a lady who was giving a word in church one time, many, many years ago. She started out, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I knew this was from the Holy Spirit. She was speaking. But then there was another person in the church that she had an issue with. So while she was speaking, I knew in an instant, and so did Pastor Cindy, when she moved out of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit stopped speaking and she kept speaking, and she began to try to deal with something in the natural. Now, it was something that needed to be dealt with, but not like that. Okay, not why you're claiming to be talking from God, but now you're going to use this to try to manipulate this person to do things your way. It shouldn't have been done like that. And unfortunately, I had to not publicly, but privately call her out on that and try to show her what she had done. And at first she denied it, but then she finally agreed. And then she tried telling me, well, I couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit was just speaking and I couldn't stop it. And I said, no, ma'am. It's not how it works. And thank God she was able to receive it. So, but the thing is that I could tell, I knew when it was no longer the Holy Spirit speaking. And Pastor Cindy did too. And so again, that's just another way that that gift works. And I'm sure there's much more that we could share about that. So, but it validates the gifts that are in operation within the church. So this discerning of spirits can be a trying of the spirit to see if it's God. That's what the scripture tells us to do. So, by the way, one of the gifts, prophecy, says that prophecy should be judged. That's not by head knowledge. That's by those who are operating according to this discerning or distinguishing of spirits that know, yes, this was a word of God, or no, this was not. So, but next week we'll talk about the power gifts. But how many of you would like all of the gifts of the Spirit operating in this body and in and through us, all of us? So here's the thing. None of us are limited. Nobody in this room is limited. God will use any one of us who will allow ourselves to be used in this way. But again, let's get the fruit of the Spirit operating in and through us too, so that we can properly use the gifts. We prayed last week. We're going to kind of pray in the same way this week. If you want these gifts operating in you, listen, you just ask. The Apostle Paul said, eagerly desire the best gift. That's what he said. Eagerly desire the best gift. Well, what's the best gift? The one that's needed in the moment. All right? Eagerly desire them. He wants us to desire having these gifts operate through us